Baby, you're a firework. Come on, let you come. Make them go, and shoot across the sky.
What? Stop.
Oh, hey, everyone.
No. It's not that. It's actually just that you were doing it too well.
Oh.
They were going to pick up that you were doing the song and call us out.
The algorithm was going to get us.
Anyway,
motherfucker.
Hello, everybody.
Booker of the Black Tower.
Was it awkward?
Warden's Day night, which you know what that means as a gathering of your Mahales. Your Mahales are here to give you your weekly dose of taint, teach you to deal with the madness.
The madness inside.
So thank you for tuning in. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for being here. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being
also, awesome. Guys, I just want to throw out there really quick before we go
into that. Throw it out there, Daniel.
To all of those of you who are listening not live, to all of those of you who are listening to the regular episode because you are not a Patreon, that is totally fine. We love you. You guys are excellent. This is not for you for a moment. Every week, we do actually do our episodes live every Wednesday. Unless we end up doing it on Tuesday because we have a guest that can't do it on Wednesday or whatever. But anyway, pretty much everyone.
Guests.
I know, right? Pretty much every Wednesday, we get on at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time or Eastern Daylight Time, depending on what part of the year it is. However, we are on what we are now, thanks to Sexy Morshadi, calling Black Tower Standard Time. Which means that 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time is actually 8:05 to 8:10. So thank you guys for always being patient. We know that you always give us shit and we love it. And we don't do it on purpose so that you'll give us shit. But we do still appreciate that all of you stick around for 5 or 10 minutes while we figure out.
Mahale is never late, nor is he early. Arrives precisely when he means to.
Because you guys are lovely, and we do thoroughly enjoy that you guys are here to listen to this live, and to enjoy being with us and taking part in our discussions and things like that. So thank you guys, seriously, the live listeners. Seriously. You guys are super fun, and thank you for your patience. Today was actually one of the worst ones. I think we were actually 10 minutes late. Which is not actually that usual, but still. But anyway.
Did you know that the Black Tower Podcast has its very own website? No? Well, then make sure you head on over to www.blacktowerpod.com for even more Black Tower Podcast tainty goodness. On our site, you can find all of our social media links conveniently located towards the bottom left if you're on computer. There are links to the Facebook page, our Twitter, our YouTube, and our Instagram. So you can keep up to date with us by finding all of our social media there. Also on our website, you can find a link to the forums that we have where we have all kinds of discussions and, as Morshadi has done plenty of times, run naked through the forums. No worries, there's no pictures. We turned off the cameras for that. You can find links to Black Tower Podcast merch, both on New Creations by Jen and from Spreadshirt, where you can find any of our designs that we've ever put out, and you can go and get yourself whatever kind of merchandise you want, be it shirts, glasses, aprons for cooking, bags, hats, buttons, anything that you want, you can find in between the two merch shops that we have. Website also has a very quick and accessible link for our Discord, where you can come and join all of the fantastic tainty discussions that we have in our Discord server. We do have sections for spoiler and non-spoiler content, so you can come and enjoy something for you if you have finished a series, or something for you if you haven't finished a series. Another key feature is our Dragonsworn on Demand section, where you can automatically see the most recent 5 videos from our YouTube that will play on an automatic playlist for you on the website, a quick button to get to our YouTube there as well, and you can just listen to the most recent 5 episodes that we have posted on Podbean. If you're curious about events and things we have coming up, we also have the Black Tower calendar where you can go and look and see when we generally do our live Patreon recordings, when our episodes go live, and any events and things that we have coming up that we can put on the calendar. A quick link to our Patreon where you can join and get access to all kinds of different content, including pre-recordings, and depending on the tier, early access to episodes, shout outs, all that kind of fun stuff. And of course, we will update the Patreon whenever we do have the updates ready to go live. We are still working on that. That is coming as of right now. Make sure you head on over to our website where you can literally get access to anything that we have and we put out.
We actually have a lot of stupid cool stuff coming for the Patreon that is basically here. We are not quite ready to announce it yet because we don't have quite all of this stuff yet, but get excited. Some of the things that are already part of the Patreon, none of the benefits are changing, but some of the names are. We're also adding a number of benefit tiers. A lot of the stuff is really cool, so please look out for that. And if you are not currently a Patreon, definitely go look at it. Again, pretty soon here, no later than the end of April, we'll actually have this stuff going. And so you'll be able to check out the new Patreon stuff. If you are a current Patreon, there are some benefits that are going to be added for certain people. So get excited about that. And please, please, please think about joining the Patreon. It means so much to us to get your support, to receive the knowledge that you guys are happy with what we're doing. You'll get to listen to live episodes. You'll get access to episodes early. There's a lot of really cool things going on our Patreon, and it would mean the world to us if you would at least go over and take a look at what we're doing and think about joining up. And even if you don't, let us know if there's some feedback about what could make you join, what you'd be interested in, or, what's there that you don't like, because we cannot learn if we don't have information, and we'd love to hear from you guys as far as feedback from all of it. And that goes not just for Patreon. I will open this up to other stuff as well. We love feedback, period. We've gotten a couple of bad reviews that are just, you guys suck, which is super unhelpful. We know we suck. That's kind of our shtick. So if you could just be a little bit more specific about how we suck so that we can fix it, that'd be great. Anyway, Josh, you were saying fun things, and I interrupted for...
Oh, Daniel, like, he's all business, business, business. It's okay. It's
business, okay. Business, business. I'm business, baby.
Business. You just so money.
Now she's a busy businesswoman who only cares about business.
We're here.
She's it's March Madness. Tower. She's Merrill Lynch. Oh, man. We are, because it's the Black Tower.
We're here. It's the Black Tower Podcast. It's the Black Tower Podcast. We're recording, and we're going to talk about something that is going to be super awesome tonight. I am super excited about it because it's a topic and or thing and or person that I am super passionate about, and which is why I'm here on the show. So, but before we do that, Daniel, would you like to roll on a little protection?
Yeah, I unfortunately do not have access at the moment to our spoiler warnings that have been so lovingly crafted and given to us by our lovely friends and neighbors. But we're going to do this old school. We're going to do this the way we used to before we were gifted such wonderful spoiler condoms. And everybody just go ahead and pull out your wallet or your purse, wherever it is that you keep your spoiler condom. I know that I keep mine in my wallet. It's like 3 years expired at this point.
I love the pantomime here. Still this work. Is great.
So go ahead and make sure you pull it out. Mine is extra small because it doubles. It's a spoiler condom and also a cock ring. So we're good. It makes my Black Tower stronger.
That was more information than I ever needed.
Just have you never tried that?
Nope.
You should.
We're done it. No, we're good.
All right, guys. So you take it out. Go ahead and open it up. Be a little bit careful because you don't want to rip your actual condom. You just want to go ahead and do the wrapper. So go ahead and make sure that you open it up. You want to pull out the innards. The innards are what's important.
He's gonna be a minute.
You can go ahead and throw this part away. This part is not useful to you anymore. It is done with, so just toss that in the wastebasket. And then you want to go ahead and take this and just put it right, just pinch the tip, make sure that there's a little bit of space, and then you want to put it on the tip of your first book, just right on the eye of the world. And then make sure that it's facing the right direction, because if not, this next part's going to be really hard. Just place it onto the eye of the world, and then you want to just roll it down. Roll it down. You want to get the Great Hunt, the Dragon Reborn, the Shadow Rising.
Is it Fires of Heaven? Is the eye of the world?
No, it's your one-eyed monster. Your one eye of the world.
It's the whole series. It's the whole series.
So just roll it on all the way down from 1 to 14. I know that some people are not actually quite as well endowed as some others. Josh and I are both 14. Actually, we're technically 15. Andrew is 14. Many of our listeners are also 15. But if you're looking at more like a 6 or a 7, please do not feel like we're judging you. That's awesome. That's actually average.
We're happy you're here.
We're super happy you're here, but also get the fuck out, because this is going to have spoilers from everything. It's going to have spoilers from all 15 books. So if you're only 6 or 7, tonight's episode is not for you. That's true. Come back when you've grown. You're a little bit of a shower. We need you to be more of a grower. Once you're at 15, actually, you don't even need to be at 15. As long as you're at 14,
you can stay here if you want.
Oh yeah, that's also true.
Will be spoiled.
Yes, this is a free podcast. Because it's not even necessarily a free country, because we don't know what country you're in. But this is a free podcast where you are allowed to make your own decisions. We give you the information. You then do with it what you'd like. So if you are only at like 3 or 4, do not worry. No one is judging. We're all happy to see you. If you don't care about finding out about characters that have things happen way later on in later inches, that's fine. Just you do you, boo-boo. But know that you will find out information about certain characters that happens in inch 13. That you are not on yet. So there you go. Condoms on.
You have spoiler ready.
You've been warned. Spoilers come with side effects. Don't call us about them, because
here be spoilers.
Anyway, now that I've done the longest spoiler warning we've ever done.
Longest and most in-depth spoiler. Didn't you tell the people that they had to like keep it under like 30 seconds, and then you're over here 10 minutes later?
I didn't say that they had to keep it under 30 seconds.
You did. I'm pretty sure you said that.
No.
I'm pretty sure.
I would not have said that. I love
tonight is part 2.
Gave us a 3.5 minute spoiler warning, and I am here for it every time.
It's true. And he did a great job.
He didn't actually give us 3.5 minutes, but it's long.
It was 10
and
minutes,
I love
and
it.
We cut it down. We had
yes.
to. It's just one day we'll release the Malkyrie cut.
The 4 hours and 1 minute long spoiler warning.
Tonight is a very special night. Tonight is part 2 of our new series we like to call Background Breakdown.
All right. Sorry to interrupt whatever you may be watching or listening to, whatever topic we're covering right now, but we absolutely have to take a moment to talk about and thank our friend Josh's better half and the longtime sponsor and supporter of the Black Tower podcast. Of course, this is the Crystal Bird. barista, whether you seek crystals and minerals and the like for their cleansing, healing, and positive vibes, or you just enjoy them and think they look pretty neat, you can find anything you could possibly want with crystals and minerals here at crystalbarista.com. With everything from individual pieces that can be ordered to monthly subscription boxes, there is something here for absolutely everyone, for every occasion, for whatever you could possibly want. There's no way you can't find something that you would like in her store. On the website crystalbarista.com, you can browse by different categories, including the subscription boxes, minerals and fossils, crystal healing, stone jewelry, all the way to just the raw slabs of whatever may be being sold. And if you're more budget conscious and you want to look at anything that is limited by price, you can look for anything that is from zero to almost $25, $25 to $50, and then anything that may be over $50. Now, if you are a rock hound and you want to get some really good tools to help you in your hounding, the Crystal Barista provides those as well. And you can find those on the same website. It's a very user-friendly website. You can find absolutely anything you need for your rock hounding, mineral, crystal, fossil needs. Now, going through the website, you can also find links to the Crystal Barista's Twitter, the Crystal Barista's Facebook, as well as the Crystal Barista's Instagram, and a couple other things. Make sure you go and follow the Crystal Barista on Twitter at RockPick, RockPick, to get updates as they come out and to be up to date on what exactly is going on with the Crystal Barista. She does like to throw up things on Twitter that may be available for you to get at slightly cheaper prices, but more commonly, you can find that over on the Crystal Barista Facebook. So again, same name on Facebook, RockPick, and you'll be looking for the page that says Crystal Barista, formerly Rock Pick Legend Company. Facebook is a good place for updates for the Crystal Barista. And if you just like to look at pictures and kind of see everything that's going on mixed in with some updates, hit up the Crystal Barista on Instagram. You can find her at the Crystal Barista. Again, that's barista with one R, B-A-R-I-S-T-A, which I think is the only way to spell it. But we all know how much trouble I have with spelling. So make sure you go over and check out what the Crystal Barista has to offer and tell her that the Black Tower podcast sent you.
Yes! Tonight is the background breakdown where we get a background character or a tertiary character or a secondary stylistic type character who does not get enough love.
Accurate.
These people are amazing.
Sometimes we actually do talk about characters that get a significant amount of love, but it's in story, not from the fans.
We don't ever see hashtag.
Tonight we're actually talking about someone who gets a lot of love. Also, Tomanez, I'm pretty sure, gets a significant amount of loving. I mean, he is out drinking with Matt regularly.
It's true. And Matt is always keeping an eye out for him.
Well, and clearly they have different types. Like, Talmanez wants, like, a skinny slip of a girl, where Matt wants a, you know, plump serving maid.
Something you can hold on to. But we're not talking about Matt. And we already talked about Talmanez.
We are actually talking about Matt a little with this character.
I mean, a little bit. Because Matt doesn't.
Not Talmanez. Talmanez doesn't actually.
Tonight,
we already did that.
Is the world famous illuminator Aludra.
Aludra.
Yes, Aludra. You all know her as the Illuminator. She is a member of the Illuminators Guild and is the sole survivor that we know of.
Yes.
I feel like there are other Illuminators.
Oh, there are.
But because there are other chapters of Illuminators.
Oh yeah.
But there's the sole survivor all from over her the chapter.
World. Yes, which do you remember where it is? Where her chapter once was.
Oh, do you know what? We need to address something really quick, and I feel terrible. Andrew, your Bijan Mahale is out on assignment.
Oh, fuck yeah. Fuck. Dude, we didn't even introduce ourselves. That's why we
didn't introduce ourselves.
That's why we totally skipped over that. We're so good.
You guys
good
don't even know who we are anymore.
Ha ha. Speaking of which, let's do that now. Let's get
I'm
into
I'm Josh, your Sorovan Mahale.
I'm Daniel, your Amon Khan Mahale. And as Josh was just saying, unfortunately, spring is in the air. And along with spring being in the air, so is
it's also pollen. In Andrew's face.
Yes. And unfortunately, he is feeling very under the weather because of he is definitely significantly sure that it is allergies. So we told him to take some Benadryl, but unfortunately, you can't do a podcast when you're unconscious.
I mean, you
also
can't
cough while
it's
you're
just
unconscious.
Not very entertaining.
So unfortunately, he is off on assignment in Tanchico, where the pollen is rampant.
Yeah, that
he's fighting Sean Chan, also known as Seeds.
Yeah. So okay, so we first meet Aludra in the Great Hunt.
Correct.
Right. And Rand is there in.
Kyrian.
Eredemont. No, I thought it was
Kyrian.
Is it Kyrian?
It is.
Oh, you're right. It is Kyrian. So they're in Kyrian.
Yes.
And Rand is like, I'm gonna
Loyal and Hurin and
yeah.
Rand are all in Kyrian after having found and lost the
so frustrating.
Right? The Horn of Valir.
I let it slip through my fingers. And then they're running from Citrollix.
King of the Rock.
They're hiding from Trollocs, right? Because there's Trollocs prowling around looking for. And Rand's like, I'm jumping this fence. Come on, guys. And Hurin's like, no.
Actually, at that point, it's just Rand and Loyal. Hurin's actually not with them. Hurin is with them in this journey, but he's not actually in this particular part of it. It is just Rand and Loyal because they have actually gone to the outskirts of Kyrian to the Foregate.
That's right.
Entertain themselves, if you will, and to do whatever. And actually, not just to entertain themselves, they also... Oh, wait, no, they haven't lost the Horn of Valir yet. This is before they lose it. They still have it in the inn because this is after their meeting with Tom. They've gone to the Foregate and they've met Tom again.
Oh, that's right.
I can't come see you until later. And so they go off on this other thing, get cut off by a number of Trollocs who are prowling the area and find themselves at the wall of the Illuminators chapter, which is a super secret, like... Y'all can't come in if you're not Illuminators, motherfuckers.
Think of a Wheel of Time Fort Knox.
Basically. And of course,
and
because...
Like, they're not going to go in there, right? We can just go in there.
Yeah, it's Cheddar Lagoth, right?
Yeah.
But you know who joins them once they're inside, which is another wonderful little piece of like, who the fuck is this person? Selene ends up inside the chapter house and Rand is like, how the fuck did you get in here?
And she's like, oh, I have my ways.
That's so perfect.
Like,
she does shimmy
like
every time
she laughs.
Yeah.
Giving her empty bosom a nice shimmy. So Rand cooks up the idea that if he blows up one of these fireworks, it'll distract the Trollocs.
Which, fun fact. No, wait, no, that's not true. It's Matt gets the firework later on and learns a little bit how it works when he's with Tom.
Yeah. That's
with Rand. Sorry, you're right. For some reason, I was thinking that it was when Rand and Matt were together and he had the dagger, but it's definitely not. It's very much not.
So Selene kind of plants the idea in his head that, hey, These are fireworks. You know, you could light one off. Then the Trollocs would be distracted and you could make your escape. And Rand is like, yeah, that's a really great idea, mysterious lady with a hot bosom.
And Loyal's like, Rand, please don't light this firework.
You're an idiot.
Yes, because that is the word choice that Loyal typically uses.
You have such a long handle on your axe, Rand. That was a different choice.
Loyal, shut up! You have the longest handle of anyone's axe, you dick. The only person who has a longer handle is fucking Elder Haman.
So Rand lights off the firework and
he blows up half the chapter house.
Oh shit. Did not know that was gonna happen. And Celine's like
Well, actually, sorry. Real quick, before this, Rand and Loyal, and I believe Celine, because I think she's with them at that point, overhear a conversation with the leader of the chapter house and Aludra,
the subject
of tonight's thing, about how tonight needs to go off without a hitch. Perfect. If they fuck this up, the king of Kyrian is not going to be pleased. He has paid for a fireworks display, illuminator display, that is unparalleled in some ways. And so the Aludra is in charge of making this happen in some ways. She is the assistant manager. And all of the blame for this not going well is going to fall on her if it doesn't go well, because the manager is going to take no fucking
fun. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So
when Rand lights this off.
Yeah, he blows up half the chapter house, ruins the entire fireworks display, and Aludra is ostracized.
Oh, yeah. And not only does he, like, ruin the display, but he actually blows up the chapter house. People die, and it has the opposite effect. The Trollocs are like, hey, go over there, we're gonna get that guy. And so he's like, now we're double screwed.
Yeah.
And so they've got they do use the chaos and confusion to get away.
Yeah, which is kind of always their plan, but at the same time, it does not
realize
it doesn't go the way their plan intended. But they do also like but yeah,
this is the wheel of time doing what it always do and doing it first. Okay. Rand is putting up a gender reveal party, and that's why the king's pissed, because now the king knows the gender of his baby before the party.
Yeah,
way to go.
And like 80% of the guests weren't even looking out the window when it happened.
Yeah. So like, now he's just gotta be all surprised it's a girl.
Yeah, fucking I had a fireworks display, but
and it blew up and caused a big fire. Who could have seen that coming? But Aludra is like the only surviving member of this chapter, because whoever survives the explosion.
That's not true. I actually, now that I'm really thinking about it, they do actually say that there are a bunch of illuminators who come out to try and put out the fire. It does kill people. It does. But it's actually, there are a lot of survivors. She's just the one who's kicked out for this failure.
Mm.
And so the rest of rebuild their chapter house. They just go ahead and like fix their shit up, but Aludra is the one who takes the flack for this stuff, which then sparks the next scene that I was talking or I was thinking about. We don't see Aludra for a while. She's gone, and to be fair, she does seem like a character who, like, she is named, but she also could just go off into the ether and like just not exist anymore.
Yep.
But instead, we go
I want to say, is it an entire book or is it just later on in that book?
Let's see. Oh, well, so yeah, what happens is she crossed paths with Matt and Tom.
Yes. And I don't remember whether, I think it's book three that she,
I think you're right,
she crosses paths with Matt and Tom. And she is sleeping in a stable. And Matt and Tom go to sleep in that same stable.
Yes.
And they discover that she's there. And right about the time that they discover that she's there, a number of thugs come to do bad things to Aludra and take her stuff.
She knows one trade. She's a master illuminator. And that's what she's done all her life. So she decides she's going to keep
doing
this.
So she's doing it on the sly in some ways. Because you are not allowed to practice illumination if you are not part of a chapter.
Exactly.
But she's also like, I have one skill.
dedicated I know how to do one thing.
I do one thing and I do it real well. So
and I learned as we all know, the Joker says, if you're good at something, never do it for free.
Yeah. So she's selling fireworks and like on the sly on sort of like the black market. She's making them and selling them on a very small scale. And some men find out about it and they're like, hey, those are really valuable. So we're going to go and do bad things to this woman and take her fireworks.
It's actually the enforcers from her chapter house that are tracking her down.
Oh, I didn't remember
They're saying to her, you are not allowed to do this, and now we kill you.
And now we kill you.
We were happy with you just being banished, but now we kill you because you don't follow exile rules.
Because you don't follow exile rules.
All right, guys. Well, as we all know here at the Black Tower podcast, not everything that is touched by the shadow is lost. And that is totally true for thegreatblight.com. Now, Nablus and his team have done an amazing job of going ahead and putting this together. And it is possibly the greatest resource for those of us here in the Wheel of Time community. First off, you have this awesome homepage with posts from a bunch of your favorites. Go and find, you can go and check out new things that you've never seen before, keep up to date on content creators that you already follow, and just go ahead and dip as many of your toes or your entire foot as you want into all of the different things that are going on. Now, also here, there is probably the best list of content creators. There's YouTubers, podcasters, artists, musicians, just about everything you could want. And if you don't see your favorite content creator there, that's fine. There is an application included in the site to go ahead and make sure that your favorite content creator is part of it. Just encourage them to fill out the application and Nablus will be in touch. Now, after you've gone ahead and checked that out, you're going to want to pop over to the ever-expanding library here at the Great Blight, because it is something particularly special. Now, I don't know how many times I've gone ahead and joined a fandom only to find out halfway through my first read, looking up a character, that they die in the second to last book, which sucks. It always is very disappointing when you can't look up anything interesting about what you've read for fear of things that you haven't read yet. But they've fixed the problem over at thegreatblight.com. It is a spoiler-free wiki. That's right. That means that if you've only read up to Path of Daggers and you really want to find out what in the world you missed about Egwene because there's something you just don't understand, or if you want to get more information about Rand because you think he's super cool, you don't need to read past Path of Daggers, and it's not going to ruin you on A Memory of Light before you've gotten there. You'll know exactly where to stop. You'll know exactly where you are. And once you're done with that, make sure that you go ahead and help the site out, the content creators out, everything like that, with the beta nature of it. Up here at the top, you're going to see a problem, have a suggestion button. That is specifically for if you have any issues with the site or if you have any feedback. It's only something that we can make better with feedback and with help from the community. So come on down, check it out, grab a couple of our videos or grab a couple of our podcasts, and we'd love to see you there.
Are all the Illuminators Russian? Oh my God, canon. Canon.
Illuminators are Russian. I like this. This is good.
So, Eludra, you are no longer part of Chapter House. You must follow exile rules. And if you don't follow exile rules, we find you and we kill you.
And, you know, this actually makes sense. I like this headcanon a lot.
It really does.
I see Eludra being like, ah, yes, Metrum Kotrin, you have, how you say, nice bottom.
Yes.
But you are not man for me.
I like you, but you are not for me unless you can tell me what Bellfounder is for.
Tell you my secret. You find out my secret. I give you keys.
I also give you many, many firework. Firework and keys. But we all know you are Metrim Coffin, and which one is more important to you?
So now that Eludra is a Ruski, and I love this.
Yes. So
she gives Matt and Tom, who are on their way to Tyr at this point.
Correct. Yes. They are actually at that point, they are not on their way to Tyr. They are actually traveling. No, you're right. Sorry. They start traveling to Tyr as soon as Matt meets Tom. Yes. Matt is not traveling to Tyr until he finds Tom. Then they travel to Tyr. You're right. I'm sorry. Everybody's on their way to Tyr because it's fucking book three. And it's just a mass exodus to Tyr.
So then she says, well, you know what, dude? You know, Metrum Kotrin, you saved my life. I show you my gratitude. I give you, I can't remember what she called him, but she gives him fireworks and then punty sticks to light him.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like,
well, and interesting fact, and kind of important, both for now and later, we know that she is super good at what she does, partially because the fire sticks that she gives him are an Eludra special. Yes. They are an invention that she made herself.
It is her.
These are not things that are normal Illuminator tools. She gives him a firework. In fact, I think she gives him an entire bag of
fireworks. She gives him a whole bunch. Yeah. There's a whole bundle of them.
Yeah. But that's like normal Illuminator fare. They're all like relatively small. They're like relatively harmless, if you will. But they're all
by themselves.
But yeah, no, they're also full of gunpowder. So meh. But she also then gives him matches, basically. And she has discovered
also
a good way
something that
to
she
make
invented.
Matches. Yeah. And it's great because, again, it's a really nice way of introducing three things. Number one, Eludra is very good at what she does. Number two, Eludra is already innovative and willing to do it more. And number three, Eludra is very excited about new things when it comes to fireworks.
She is passionate.
Passionate about what she does. And so later on, when we add something else to this, and Matt...
Which we will get there. Thinks,
we will get there. And Matt thinks of an innovation. Eludra is the perfect person to go to with it because she already is set up as someone who's very good at this and very interested in pushing the envelope.
She's a very skilled chemist and engineer.
Oh, yeah.
And that's the thing. And eventually Matt comes to her and he wants a new mechanism built for a crossbow.
Yeah.
And she's and like, she helps this is not what I do. Like, have you been paying attention? And he's like, oh, yeah, I've paid attention.
Well, and I also love how it's a little bit like, yeah, no, I don't. Do that. Wait, you want us to do what?
Ooh, a challenge.
No, I don't do this. No, it's
this
not a firework.
What I do.
Wait,
however,
wait, you want the strange to do fun. What?
this is quite intriguing. You have presented me with challenge. I like.
Metrim Coffin, you intrigue me.
So
normally I just do firework, but for you. for you and your very interesting brain and fine bottom. I held my crossbow.
So that's and then Aludra again.
Oh, just fucking disappears. Gone. Disappears like, into the annals of the books again.
Don't get those wet because then they won't work. And as we know, anybody who's read up to the point, we go to Tyr, and Matt's been saving these damn fireworks this entire time, and he finally goes, hey, I've got an idea.
No, he hasn't. He hasn't been saving all of them. Dude, he's been chopping them up and tossing them into the fire in pieces to see that they make nice fun
booms. A couple of times, yes, but the large bulk of his prize, his treasure, he's saving. He's like,
he does have most of the bundle still. He very much still has the stash.
Yeah, he terrifies Tom.
Like, yeah, Tom's he's like, been scaring the shit out of the old man.
I'll get you for this, which I think is a pure moment because like Tom, with how knowledgeable and how wise he is still scared shitless of gunpowder. I love it. It's perfect. So then, as we know, Matt uses those to. He thought he was going to make a nice little distraction in a certain.
And he ends
stone.
Up blowing an entire fucking wall open.
Blowing up a hole in the Stone of Tyr. And he's like, dear Lord, I hope I never see that crazy woman again.
Right?
She nearly killed us.
And then. So we go through, this is many times later. She shows up again, not with Matt. Matt is not the next character who sees her. The next characters who actually see her are Nynaeve and Elaine. Because by the next time that we see Aludra, she is now running around with Valen Luca and his traveling masterpiece of strange and wonderful sights. And she's just illuminating for him, basically.
Yeah.
She's building fireworks.
She, you know, through a series of events, she gets away from the barn after she's given this strange boy with nice bottom some of her trade. She gets away. She meets man Valen Luca. Man is Popinjay, but he have good coin. she jumps online. She's and, like, boom, I'm here for this.
Let's be honest. Valen Luca also have nicely turned calf. So
he
like.
Does have
He's like piece of shit. He is blowhard as fuck, but also he's money
with nice kiff.
And also nice kiff.
Oh snap. Now here's I guess again, Aludra hasn't done anything like supremely directly important to the story.
Oh no.
And I think this is why a lot of people kind of skim over her until the last battle.
Sure. Yeah.
Because when she travels with Valen Luca.
Well, and then, to be fair, that is actually a valid thing to sort of skim over her because she hasn't really done anything super necessary.
Yeah.
And it's true, she hasn't. But again, this is where Robert Jordan shines. This is one of the things that he does so well is the person who gives us one of our greatest tools for the forces of the light in the last battle doesn't just pop up out of nowhere. She has an entire story that the payoff of that particular tool is the product of many books of foundation and story and build.
Yes.
And all of these instances of her in the chapter house getting berated by the leader, her getting exiled, her meeting Matt and Tom, her giving Matt the tool that he uses with great effect to save our three Wonder Girls. Or at least to assist in the saving of the Wonder Girls.
That is one thing that I actually always bothers me, just really quick. Matt does not save the Wonder Girls. He does not. They save themselves. No. He does, but he doesn't, because they get themselves out of their cell. Now, they don't have a plan to get any further than out of their cell.
Right.
And so he does assist in their escape, 100%. And he deserves credit for it, and they deserve, or and deserves the apology that they give later, because they totally skim over his assistance in helping them get out of their cell, because they didn't have a plan past where they got. However, I do also want to say they are very capable, and just because they didn't have a plan doesn't mean they couldn't have made one.
Yes.
Doesn't mean they couldn't have done it on their own. It's just a situation where they're a little bit dicks about the fact that he does help. And so again, they're not helpless. They don't need Matt's help. But he does give it anyway. And he does give it successfully. Anyway, but that's totally a different tangent. I know.
Different episode, man.
Different episode. But
So Aludra is now with the Traveling Circus. Success
to assist the Wonder Twin or the Wonder Trio. And then, you know, goes off to the circus and just gets better. Gets better and better. And I honestly think that this is one of the moments where we don't see it, but the White Tower stifles innovation and stifles new ideas because they're dangerous. Yes. And most of the time it is for the benefit of its members, because they don't want to lose women who can channel. They don't want them to die. They don't want them to be burned out. They don't want them to X, Y, and Z. I think it's very much the same thing with the Illuminators chapter houses, is that they probably do very much the same thing of, no, we don't make new things very often.
Yes.
And if we make a new thing, it's typically by accident and somebody likely loses a hand. And then we figure out how to do it better and we add it to our fireworks displays.
Right.
But it's dangerous. You lose limbs, you lose fingers, you lose toes, you lose lives when you innovate. And so I'm betting that Aludra, along with many other illuminators that could do even cooler things, are constantly being told, don't do that. Don't do that.
Yes.
Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't. But and when Aludra's... she's with Val and Lucas Circus, she literally just gets to go fucking ham.
Yeah. Well, because Val and Lucas, like, make my show the best show in the world. Bigger,
right?
Better.
Right?
Yes. I'll get you whatever you need. You want sulfur and tin? And I don't know why, and I don't care. How much do you want? I'll buy it all for you.
Like, yeah.
He's there. He's there for it.
Oh, absolutely. And he is constantly encouraging.
And he stays out of her business.
Aludra.
He's not like,
right?
What are you doing?
Go bigger. Go better, go louder, go
brighter. And I'll leave
you
the hell alone.
And as long as you keep doing those things, I will get out of your way and buy you gunpowder. Right? And I love how, okay, so sorry, just an additional accent, if you will, in my head. Valen Luca is Italian, 100%. In my head, Valen Luca is Italian.
I can see that.
And he's also played by Hugh Jackman as his character from The Greatest Showman.
We got an Italian P.T. Barnum. Okay, I love it.
Yeah, no, 1,000%. Or possibly Zac Efron if they can't get Hugh Jackman.
So I love...
That would be an all right.
I love when we get here to this point, because we start to see something in Aludra that we have not previously seen. And that is purpose, right?
Yes.
I mean, when she was at the chapter house, things were great. She's blowing shit up. She's doing fireworks.
She's learning. Awesome. Yeah.
But now she's been on the run for the past couple books. She's been, a bit of a nomad.
Oh, and you can tell that she's tired.
And she's,
when we see her
not
next,
happy, is, it's not good.
She is starting to come back to life, if you will, from just being tired. she only joins Valen Lucas Circus for protection at first.
Mm-hmm.
But it turns into a very nice, especially because of, I mean, Nynaeve and and Elaine actually really do seem to make friends with her. And again, yeah, like, she seems to be very, as you said, at home in the circus and kind of finding her way as, like, I never thought there was alternative to Chapter House, but now I am in circus and is better.
She's also got this unquenchable thirst to destroy the Chantre.
Oh, yeah.
She hates them. Because
we never even really find out quite why.
I think,
like, we get solid hints about it, but she's never very candid about why.
Well, because they come in and they're like, oh, we've got Soldam who can make nightlights way better than you.
Oh, and stop
practicing fireworks right now. And the Chapter House is like, okay, cool. They don't stop, and then the Shanchan, like, I think
they kill
execute. And that's the Ebu Dari chapter.
Yeah.
And so,
like, Aludra, again, doesn't seem like she had that much, like, close relationship with the Ebu Dari Chapter House, but, like, clearly she did.
Because
there is a deep
illuminators right there. They are illuminators. There is a code, a guild code.
Yeah, no, I mean, again, it's intense.
So that's like her purpose. She's found a home. She's found community. She's found unfettered access to all the resources and research that she could ever desire and want. And she's got one goal: death to the Shanchan.
Yep.
And the first time we see her sort of unleash this is she's using, so basically, you know, you get the fireworks with a little tube. You light them, you drop them in the tube, and they're little, you know, pew, boo. Well, she's like, I'm going to take this. I'm going to put it in the tube. I'm going to point it at them. Only I'm going to have little bits of metal in there. And grenades.
I am going to make a bomb. And I am going to RPG them at Shanchan.
and it was devastating.
Like, oh, it was bad.
The Shanchan have no idea what the hell to do because they don't face these kinds of things that aren't on the other, like, coming from another channeler. Channelers they can deal with because they can see weaves. They can, you know, they can duel another wizard. What I love most about Aludra is she doesn't have the ability to channel. She's not Tavirin. She's just a resourceful, smart, driven, beautiful woman who just wants to cause all the chaos and destruction.
Well, and again, one of my favorite parts about this is it's another payoff. Because what do the Shanchan do when they come into Ebu Dari? They go, right, oh, we've seen your displays. They're not nearly as good as our demane magic blooms in the sky. You guys need to stop what you're doing right now. And they don't take the time to learn what the illuminators do. They don't take the time to actually go through and, like Matt, toss one into the fire and figure out what it does and figure out what fireworks are and how they work and things like that. So when they show up later on, oh, and then they just kill all of the illuminators. That's also it. Without asking any real questions, they're like, oh, you just didn't do what we asked? All right, cool. Murdered. And so when Aludra shows up and she's like, no, I have grenades that you don't understand. They're like,
yeah,
what the fuck is this shit?
They run headlong into it first.
They're like our demane fire flowers in the sky, but they also hurt. Like,
but they're pointed at us and we don't like it.
Yeah. Anyway, so we go through
as
that.
She progresses.
It's great. We lose the circus again for a little while because Nynaeve and Elaine leave to go do their own things. But another set of people go to the circus for shelter. And so again, we end up at the circus at Valen Luka's masquerade of many things with Matt and Tuon. And a number
and
of
And Aludra joins them. Aludra leaves. She starts traveling with Matt. She escapes the circus with
them. Yes. When he leaves, Aludra goes with them because, again, he's got a nice butt.
He has nice bottom.
Also, he's smart and resourceful as well. I feel like Aludra very much feels a kindred spirit with Matt.
And she also sees potential because Matt, more than anyone, is not afraid of her craft. And she's kind of relaxed away from some of the guild standards.
Oh, yeah.
Especially where she's looking to the future, where she's wanting to rebuild a chapter.
Oh, yeah.
Needs people like Matt
who will help her do that. The last character that we did as a background breakdown was Talmanis. And I feel like Aludra falls in with Matt in very similar fashion to Talmanis as I see something in this guy.
Yes.
Now, I don't know whether Talmanis looks at him and goes, I mean, he has nice bottom, but... but I imagine that it's probably true because, like, I've run around with dudes who have nice butts who I have no interest in as well. But, you know, a nice butt's a nice butt.
Hey, you can enjoy the art.
Oh, yeah. Without
taking it off the wall.
Exactly. 100%. Museums are a thing. But yeah, so she starts traveling with Matt and they, as you said, he brings her a blueprint for a crossbow that he's thinking about. He brings her a number of just ideas, if you will, of wacky things that he's come up with. That, you know, again, it does seem like, well, okay, twofold. I just want to throw out there that when Aludra and Matt are traveling together, before Matt really knows and sort of comes to terms with, in some ways, the fact that he is absolutely fated to be married to Tuon, he definitely sees himself as being happy with Aludra.
Sure.
He is chasing that hard. And like not like obnoxiously hard, but he is chasing it because he likes it. He likes what it is, and he's like, I can see myself, doing this. And it's a challenge. And she makes it a chase, and not an obnoxious chase. Again, it's not like she is just making chase for making chase. She actually wants to see what Matt's made of. Yeah. And Matt is happy to show her what he's made.
Is where she gives him the riddle.
Yeah.
And she basically, it's almost like one of those, fine, I'll go on a date with you if you can tell me what I need a bell founder for.
Yeah. And it's a nice little intellectual like back and forth between these two people.
And he's like, what the hell would she need a bell founder for? He doesn't need a bell.
Well, the funniest part is he's like, I don't even know what a bell founder really is. First, I have to go find out what a bell founder is, because right now all I can think of is Quasimodo, and I know that's wrong.
Sanctuary!
He spends a lot of time trying to figure out this riddle while simultaneously also, you know, regularly going to her with new ideas and new thoughts and new, you know, things. And he even designs, not fully designs, but he definitely comes to her and says, hey, so fun fact, I don't know if you remember this, but a long time ago, you gave me a bag of fireworks. And when I put it in a windowsill and lit it on fire, and blew up an entire section of the building. And she, of course, as you said, is just like, you did what with my what?
I'm surprised you didn't kill yourself, you dumbass.
And you're still alive?
You're the luckiest son of a bitch. You are the luckiest suk I've ever there seen in go. My life.
Bliet, you did what with my fireworks?
I did not know I was drinking with the devil.
But yeah, so he says that, and then he goes, so, I've been thinking. What if you...
Which makes everybody in the room go, ooh.
Yeah, what if you could launch one of the bags of fireworks in the direction of someone you don't like? And she goes, oh, like this. And she pulls out her design for the dragon eggs. And he goes, yeah, exactly like that, but bigger. And she goes, you are fucking crazy, and well, I like it.
Well, and that's so take a look at what they've kind of done. You know, you talk about their play back and forth, and she's brilliant. She's bloody brilliant. Matt, prior to this point, has come to her and said, look, I want a mechanism that will allow me to fire crossbow bolts at a faster pace. And she's like, yeah, okay, no, that's not what I do. And he goes, yeah, but we can kill more Shanshan. And she's like, I am intrigued.
You had my you didn't have my, but now you have my curiosity.
That's right. So she does this. She actually comes up with something. And
oh, they work, you know, they very start, closely together.
They were so effective. They devastate an entire detachment of Shanshan without a single casualty. Like,
which again,
of Shanshan soldiers.
That is Matt's luck. Part of that is Matt's tactics, but a lot of it is this new design.
You basically have the howitzer of crossbows.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, these guys, they're just bang, 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 bang. It's similar to when Oda Nobunaga started using rifles against samurai factions. Like, it was a big leap forward.
Massive.
In warfare. And it's all because
you
Alundra
almost
and Matt
feel
are working
bad
together.
For the Shanshan. Almost.
Almost. Almost. I mean,
because when it comes right down to it, you know that a number of those nameless, faceless people were just trying to fucking live their lives, and they walk into just crossbow bolt hell.
It was there was a firefight. It was hell. Okay. Now you've got Aludra and Matt, and Matt's going, what if we'd point the big boomy thing at the bad people? And Aludra's like, hey, yes, I like this very much.
This is another time where the build is there. Aludra builds the dragon eggs. Matt and Aludra build the crossbows. And once Aludra realizes that Matt has a really good head on his shoulders, not just for... you know, tactics and things like that, but also for, like, it's not even he's just an ideas man.
Yeah,
he's also got this head on his shoulders for engineering and things like that, which granted, it's not his head.
It's
somebody else's,
not afraid of new ideas,
but at the same time.
So if someone says, hey, here's a new thing to an Aes Sedai, and Aes Sedai's like, squash it, kill it with fire, balefire the new thing. The new thing is dangerous.
Kinda. Most
and
of the time.
That's a running theme in the Wheel of Time. They are so terrified of the breaking thousands of years later that it's permeated into every aspect of their society.
And let me be super clear here again. Every time that we say this, it is a dig on the White Tower. They should not be doing this. There has been enough time. There has been enough learning. There has been enough whatever. That you should not be doing it anymore. But... the breaking was fucking insane. And therefore, if that is your reason for going ahead and not doing anything new, I get it.
Yeah.
Even though I don't agree with you, I get it.
Yeah. And
anyway.
So you this age is shaped by people like Matt. And Aludra sees that. And she goes, here's a man who is not afraid of innovation. Not only is he not afraid of innovation, but this is the luckiest son of a bitch I've ever met in my life. And I know that he's the guy who's going to get me to where I want to go. And eventually, yep. Matt cracks her riddle of why she needs a bell founder. And he goes, oh. And he says, hey, you know, my friend is the Dragon Reborn. We could get every bell founder in Andor working on these. And she's like, oh, Matrum Cotton, I could kiss you.
And he's and like, yes, that was, that
she
was.
She like plants the, right on him.
Oh, yeah. That's absolutely true. And I love how she's like, Matrum Cotton, I could kiss you. And he's like, yeah, that was the bargain.
That was kind of the deal.
I don't think you understand how bargains work because you just said could. And it's definitely will, because I figured out your riddle.
You know, and
but it's also awkward because at the point where he figures it out, he and Tuan yeah. are basically a thing, and he's like, "Damn it, I really wanted this kiss, and I actually well, really am and enjoying
doesn't she
it."
Even
but
tease
also,
him like,
like
that?
Fuck.
At one point in time, she's like, "Yeah, you have girlfriend.
Yes.
Go away, little boy."
Why are you spending so much time with Aludra when you have girlfriend? Stop
we,
it.
And we talk about Aludra as being this person who is innovative and fearless and brilliant. And the cool thing is like when they invent cannons with like massive explosives coming out the end of them,
Durgans.
The world is terrified. Even Elaine, who has sole control of the cannons at this point, is terrified of them.
Well, I mean, it's definitely a situation where Elaine is playing the Oppenheimer role. Because Aludra is all for this. Nat yeah. is all for this. And I know that part of that is the fact that they designed them and they're not actually nuclear bombs. And they know their sort of like limits, if you will. Right. And so they're like, yo, this is designed to be really effective and really destructive, and it'll take Trollocs out by the score. That's all it's designed to do. Fucking use it. And Elaine is sitting there being like, if I use these, I will become death.
Yeah. Like, well, because she knows, she can see a few
the world will never see the, be the same.
She can see that, yeah, once the Trollocs are defeated, then who do we have to fight against? Humans again. I don't yep. know that I could turn these weapons on humans. This is yeah. brutal.
Well, and we never actually get a scene, but I would really love to see the Fox Bruce Wayne scene where where he walks in and he goes, I can't use this. This is too yeah. much power for someone to use.
Yeah.
And Matt and Aludra look at Elaine and go, hey, use them on the shadow. And then once you're done, put in the password and all of the dragons will blow up.
Do you know, so I like this whole interaction because again, Aludra and Matt, I want to say they're pragmatic, right? They're realists.
Oh yeah.
They see, we need any edge we can get. Now, originally, Aludra's designing this for the Seanchan.
She
is. This is her little present that she wants to kiss the Seanchan on the cheek with. And she's like, well, Shadow Spawn, Seanchan, same difference. Makes no difference. You kill them both. I'm okay with these.
Well, also, to be fair, when she is running around after the chapter house is destroyed and she's in exile and she's running around with Val and Luca and things like that, until she actually comes together with Matt again and really starts to travel with him, the Seanchan are the biggest threat that she knows about. Because
yes.
her, like many, many, many other people on the continent, know about Shadow Spawn. Know that they're this sort of ethereal threat.
Yes.
But at the same time, they've never seen a Trolloc.
Aludra has seen the Seanchan. She knows that they're dangerous. She's heard about the executions at the Abu Dhar chapter house. She knows that they are bad. And once she gets together with Matt, that never goes away. I'm not saying that she ever gets over her deep-seated hatred of the Seanchan, but once she actually starts seeing evidence of Shadow Spawn, once she actually starts seeing evidence of Bubbles of Evil, once she starts seeing evidence of the prophecies of the dragon come true, that Tarmin Gaiden is on the horizon, she's like, maybe I have been too hasty about all of this Seanchan hate, because is bigger threat on the horizon. We make dragons for kill Trollocs.
I still hate Seanchan.
Is no question.
I hate Shadowspawn more.
So yeah, exactly.
We kill Shadowspawn. Later I kill Seanchan.
Yes.
And she does something that I think is truly great in the last battle. So up until this point, everything she's been doing is built up to the last battle. And she does something that I think is truly tremendous and great in every sense of the word for the last battle. And that is that she's got the cannons. She's trained people how to use them. She's trained people how to make them and make.
Which is the so against
and the dragon's eggs. And once the shit hits the fan, when the Trollocs come, she stays with the cannoneers. She stays with the cannon teams. She stays with the cannons. Her dragons are her babies. And
she's there
with them.
See? Fighting. Wheel of Time did dragons, eggs, and Mother of Dragons before Game of Thrones. Actually, technically, I think the answer is I don't know if they did.
I don't, whatever.
That was like book one Wheel Game of Thrones. Anyway. I agree with you, but
I love how
I have to be honest about my criticisms. Otherwise, I'm no better than other people. And if I'm no better than other people, what am I? Fucking Jesus.
Other people, apparently.
Ugh.
No, God. I just love, you know, we gave so much credit to Talmanis for, in the darkest hours of the battle, ringing out and fighting. We've got to stand. We've got to fight and die trying. We cannot let the shadow win. Aludra doesn't get any motivational speeches. She doesn't get any amazing scenes. But who was the one who carted the cannons into the warehouse where they hid from the Shadow Spawn until the Red Hand could get there and secure the dragons and secret them away?
Oh, and Aludra. Also, who's in the cave with Talmanis? At the end.
And that's what I'm saying. She stays
I'm 100% with
the
you.
Whole time. Yeah. And then when the Ashaman, when Andril comes up and says, hey, I've got a plan. I'm going to put you in a cave that has no openings in it. And you guys are just going to be in there. And then I'll put a couple Ashaman in there with you. And we'll open up a gateway and blow it up and then close the gateway. And then open the gateway, then blow it up and close the gate. We're just going to keep doing that. You guys good with that? And Aludra's like, sign me up.
Well, I love how Aludra, like, Talmanis is very much sign me up. Aludra in the scene, if I remember correctly, is like, all right, first of all, I have so many additional questions, but also we don't have time. So yes, sign me up, but I will ask so many questions once this battle is over. Because I am so confused about all of the words you just said.
I have not had enough vodka for
this. Give me bottle of potato alcohol, and then we will do this, and then I will ask many questions as we have another bottle of potato alcohol.
Aludra is
super cool.
She's a bad bitch.
Guys, she is. Well, and again,
acknowledge the greatness right now, because, you know, people want to talk about, you know, representation of strong female characters. And I know it's a bit of a cliche to mention in today's scene,
sure,
but she is, in every sense of the word, a strong female character.
Oh yeah.
Her flaws are that she's, you know, a little bit too, you know, one dimensional when she's like, I have one purpose, kill Shonta. But even then, you know, they point out to her, they go, look, I'm happy you kill Shonchen. We must kill Shadow Spawn now. And she's like, da, prost, let's kill Shadow Spawn.
No. See, Aludra, like, we agree with you 100%. We definitely don't like the Shonchen and we want to take them out. But of the tier list, Shadow Spawn are S tier, Shonchen are A tier. So let's take care of S tier first.
The Shadow Spawn will be a good testing for.
Yeah, they're a war.
And then we'll use them against the Shonchen, which are thoroughly tested.
No, except because of the dragon's piece. But anyway,
Aludra's amazing. Aludra's amazing.
No, she is. Well, and one of the things you touched on it just a moment ago, I really love the fact that so many of all of the main female characters get a romantic storyline. Most of the secondary and even tertiary female characters get romantic storylines. Now, yes, before anyone asks me, almost all of the male main characters also get a romance storyline. And a good portion of the secondary and tertiary male characters also get romantic storylines. So this is not a female versus male thing, but
there's a pretty good balance of that.
There is. But I also really like the fact that Aludra is just one of those characters who is. Now, granted,
yes,
if things were written a little differently and Matt did not have this faded connection with Tuon, I'm not saying that Aludra couldn't have a romantic storyline. Sure. There is one that is sort of there for the taking that just never gets picked up, which I think is also very entertaining. Also, I'm not saying that Aludra doesn't get it, because Aludra could get it if she wanted to. Fucking any inn in town, Aludra is an attractive woman who can just walk in and be like, I am very good at what I'm good at. How about we go outside, I blow up firework for you, and then you give me whatever I want. Like, again, she could get it if that was what she thought was important.
Yes.
But she doesn't have a bogged down romantic storyline in her story. There's just the Aludra story. That's what it is. And I appreciate that when it happens, because while I don't necessarily think it doesn't happen enough, because let's be honest, in the real world, there really aren't that many people who just have very little to no romantic storyline in their story. But in books, when you're not getting every aspect of their life, there are so many people who spend large swaths of their life and their, you know, time and their effort being single and being okay with it. And Aludra is one of those people in this story. And it's great. I love that she is a strong independent character. She is a
cliche,
right?
She is.
She's a strong independent character who in this case don't need no man. And it's great. I love it.
and Robert Jordan, especially, you know, given the fact that he wrote this in the 90s, guys, 30 years ago. And granted, now when we get to the later parts of the stories, you know, we're looking at 10, 15 years ago.
Yeah.
And Brandon taking over and writing. But even in those situations, they're extremely well written. And I'm really excited for characters like Aludra to see the light of day in mainstream pop culture.
And it's interesting because I'm so torn. Because on one hand, I come from the world of production. I am an actor.
Colorful people.
I know what it's like to go ahead and write films. I know what it's like to write television shows. I know what it's like to adapt things. I know what it's like to act in them. I know what it's like to actually shoot them, things like that. And tertiary characters, when you're talking about a book that has thousands of named characters, Aludra and Talmanes, all of our background breakdown people, are people who could be eliminated from the show, or people who could be rolled into other characters in the show, or that other characters could be rolled into them. And while I am very respectful of whatever Rafe chooses to do and what the writers and whatnot choose to do, I really want to see Talmanes and Aludra, and I really hope they don't just eliminate them. If Nalasian and Talmanes both become Talmanes and there's just no Nalasian, I'd be okay with that, even though it would make me sad. If Aludra and some other characters become the same character and it's just Aludra, I would be okay with that because I know how much is happening in the meta of making the story. But at the same time, they're just so good, such good characters.
It's true.
I just want them all, and especially Talmanes and Aludra, and I want them to be who they are in the story and just who they are in the story.
Yeah, I could not agree more. Everyone, thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you so much for listening. For segment two of our background breakdown, leave a comment below. Tell us what you think about Aludra. Shoot us a message on the Twitterverse. Shoot us a message on the Instaverse. Shoot us a message on our forum at blacktowerpod.com. Anywhere you want to. Facebook, Gmail. Send us a message. Tell us what you think about Aludra. Tell us how much you agree with how awesome she is, because we all know you think she's awesome.
Also, let me be super clear here. We're not fishing for you to do our work for us. We already have other characters picked out.
We kind of are.
But if you want to leave a comment about who we should do next for the background breakdown, if you have a character that you love that you think doesn't get enough love in the story, shoot us a... Give us a line. Send us a message. Give us the understanding that you want to see this character done. Talk to us about what you want to see. But yeah, definitely, again, as Josh said, just real quick again, go to blacktowerpod.com. It's got all of our stuff, literally all of our stuff except one. You can find it all there to get all of that different stuff. Also, from there, make sure to go ahead and check out our Patreon. It's awesome. It's super fun. It's getting better, which is saying something because I already think that it's not bad. So, you know, whatever. Also, you can go ahead and support us if you want to go ahead and buy things from our Spreadshirt or New Creations by Jen. We have some designs on both of those. If you are not part of the Frosty Mug Society, get you one. Also, get yourself a Two River Sniper shot glass to go with it so that you can do Jaeger bombs.
Take the shot.
Awesome. Right? Take a
hashtag, shot. Hashtag take the shot. Indeed. Two River Sniper.
Everybody loves merchandise. And one of the best possible places to go and get yourself some really dope Wheel of Time inspired themed merchandise is, of course, newcreationsbyjen.com. So whenever you go to newcreationsbyjen.com, whether you're looking for just Wheel of Time inspired stuff or not, you can find all kinds of really cool merchandise and goodie opportunities, all the way from gifts for your family, friends, significant others, whoever have you, newborns, children, toddlers, women, men, adults, anybody that wants anything, you can find something for them for sure on New Creations by Jen. Now, most of you listening are going to be looking for Wheel of Time stuff. And the easiest way to find it is to go to the catalog section on New Creations by Jen, where you can see the groups of stuff for us at Black Tower Podcasts, Malkier Talks, Talk Around Riyadh, Will Reads, The Will Weaves, and Weekly Will News. So you can find all of this stuff, and you can browse and look at all the different kinds of things that each content creator that is a part of New Creations by Jen's has taken and asked Jen and Rob to put up on the site. Obviously, we're going to use ours as an example so that you can go in and look at Black Tower Podcast stuff, because we are the Black Tower Podcast. So if you go on, you can get our Two Rivers Sniper shot glass as well as Two Rivers Sniper shirt. It's available on a red shirt. So you can go on and you can get our Frosty mug, which is one of the Frosty mug collectibles. Each Wheel of Time content creator that is on New Creations by Jen has a Frosty mug that you can go in and get for yourself. So after you get ours, make sure you get the others and get the entire set and join the Frosty Mug Society. Of course, there's more than just Frosty mugs and little shot glasses, and there's plenty of different kinds of shirts with different designs on them from all of the different content creators. Of course, you can find ours where you can get our logo in black and white on a shirt. I have one myself. It's fantastic and I love it. Jen and Rob do an amazing job of working with not only their customers, but the content creators that they help support with this amazing and very good quality merchandise. So if you have not headed over to New Creations by Jen and gotten yourself something dope, make sure you go and do that. Again, it's newcreationsbyjen.com.
But I think that's it. I mean, plugs are actually relatively easy at this point now that we've got a website. God, we should have done that earlier. But anyway, we love you all. We are so happy that you are here. Those listening live right now, you guys are fantastic. We love you so much. For those of you listening not live, also right now, weirdly enough, we also love you. We couldn't do this without any of you. Every listener is important, and we hope that you are doing super well. But from all of us here at the Black Tower Podcast, Andrew is with us in spirit, and we hope that he is getting some well-deserved rest.
I have been your... Wait, hold on. Fist over the left shoulder. I have been your Sauron Mihail, Josh.
And I have been your Amin Khan Mihail, Daniel. And from all of us here, again, we hope that you guys are having a wonderful day. We hope that you're getting everything that you want. We hope that you are eludering the fuck out of today. And in case we don't see you again, good afternoon, good evening, good night.